Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So today we are stepping through the gates of a new Jerusalem, verses 21, right? To explore what life actually looks like on a restored planet. There is a common misconception that the afterlife is a cloudy, ethereal existence of playing harps in the sky. But scripture paints a more vivid, tactile and busy picture, from planting vineyards, building homes, to exploring mysteries of the universe and learning about salvation. We're diving into the daily life of eternity and what it looks like. What will we do? Who will see? And what does it mean to live in a world where death is but a forgotten memory? Join us as we converse. Here's our pastor joining us today, Mfundisi Matam. Pastor, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Brother Derek. How are you today?
I'm all right, Mfundisi. Thanking you for joining us and trusting you're okay.
Oh, thank God. I'm okay, yeah. I'm okay this
way. We praise God. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Appreciating you for coming through. Pastor, let's jump straight into the conversation. When you look at the book of Revelations, it describes the new Jerusalem descending from heaven. What is the role of this city and why is it described as having no temple, no sun, and so forth? Is this then going to be the where we live for eternity in this city, or is it the capital city and then we're still supposed to populate the earth, or fill the earth rather? I don't know. Talk to us about the machinings of how the city looks like here.
All right. You've already mentioned it as you were explaining that it serves as the capital city. That's the role of this city.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's just not the capital city for Earth, but the capital city for the whole universe.
Yay.
And one thing that we get to know about this city is that the tabernacle of God himself will be in that city. In actual words, God himself will be residing in that city.
So he's going to move his residence.
He's moving his residence into that city.
Yeah.
And that city, we are told that it's going to come down to this planet Earth and sit on planet Earth. So God will be dwelling inside there, and together with the redeemed, the rest of the redeemed. And we are told that there is no more temple in that city. Why? You know, for us to understand why there's no more temple there, we need to look at the temple on Earth. What was the purpose of the temple?
Okay.
On Earth? At the temple, that's where people met their salvation. People went to the temple to be reconciled to God through the priest. So at the temple, there was a priest.
Yes.
Now, that priest served the purpose of reconciling people back to their God through the sacrifices that were done. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you get to understand these things. Now, to say that there's no more temple simply means that there is no more priest, there's no mediator between God and people. Why? Because people can now face their God directly.
Okay.
You see now. So there is no need of a person in between, because now people can face God, can see God face to face and talk to him face to face, because we'll be dwelling with him in that same city.
Now, thank you so much for that. And I think that's quite an interesting one, especially when you look at it from today's perspective, where we cannot be in the same vicinity with God and survive. It becomes very, very important to try and grasp that idea of having God face to face. I think it reminds me of how hymn number 89, Christ in Song Suite, Hour of Prayer, the last stanza, they would speak about how we would say, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. There's no need to pray anymore. It's not that we'll become heathens. I think it's just trying to express that there'll be no need for prayer anymore, because we are face to face with God. Why do we need to pray when we can just speak directly to him? Quite an important point. Thank you so much for that, Mfundisi. Pastor, when you look at Isaiah 65, in fact, from before this, you look at Genesis chapter 3, the punishment for sin was you must labor, you must eat the sweat of your brow. And then we find Isaiah 65, a new earth, sin is no more, it's been burnt up. And we're hearing that they'll be building and working and planting and whatnot. It involves literal work, can't it? This new earth, I thought there was rest.
But you see now, we need to understand the original earth.
Okay.
The concept of working and laboring is not for the fallen world. It's not for the earth after it had fallen.
Uh-huh.
What we see after sin had entered is just that there is too much laboring, and yet nothing comes out that that measures with the labor that we have put.
All right.
But the truth that the truth is that laboring was present even before. Before the coming the entrance of sin, where do we see that? Genesis 2 verse 15, Adam is told to tend, to dress, and to keep the garden. So he was working in the garden. He was already given the work to do. Actually, before he was given a wife, he was given work to do. So we see that the concept of working will continue even in the new earth. If God is restoring us to the original design of earth, then it must involve working in it, because when he gave us the original earth, he gave Adam work to do. So there must be work.
There must be work. It might be not as painful, but there will still be work. Okay.
And there must be work, exactly. Yeah.
And the idea of social structures, I mean, you look at today, for example, we've got borders, and even in the old world, before colonialism came through and gave us these restricted spaces, which we call ours now, there was still some sort of borders. I mean, you had the rivers that would separate countries, the Zambezi to the north of Zimbabwe, and to the east, to the west, rather. And you got the Limpopo to the south, you've got the mountain range blocking to the east, to say, no, when these mountains finish, that's now a different area or a different land. We've got other items that kind of put structure to what we call the world we live in today, languages and so forth. I'm just trying to think, in that new world, are there also social structures? Are there borders? Are there languages to say, no, these are from this country or from this planet? What would it look like in the new world?
You see, from my research, referencing to other extra biblical materials, we seem to have, you see, for those who have been in Adventist circles for a long time, you get to be reading books like early writings written by Ellen G. White. From those books, we gather information that God has got worlds, other planets, where there are other beings. I don't know if they are human beings, but there are other beings which are existing in those planets.
Okay.
And at some point in time, Sister White had an experience to visit one of those places, one of those worlds, and she got to talk to the people of those places, and there she met Enoch, who had been transported from planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when she met him, she asked him if he stayed in that place. And Enoch said, no, his home was the city. He was not dwelling in that place. So Enoch had actually visited.
Mm.
Now, that seems to tell me that there might be borders, but which do not restrict. You are not restricted to travel, but there may be different spaces where people dwell. There may be people from that other planet and people from that other planet. And people from that other planet, but they are not restricted to move, because we see Enoch with the ability to move from the city and visit other people in other worlds. So the borders might I don't know if they'll be working the way they are working today. Today, when you say a border, you are saying a place which is fenced, and there is army, there is police. You require a visa for you to enter into that country, but borders may be there, but without restrictions. You can travel. But you can actually know that I have now left this place. I'm now in another place. That's the idea that I get.
No, thank you so much. I think I like this idea of what borders today look like. I mean, I'm just reminded of recent, where some other nations have gone as far as saying, no, we are banning this one. We don't want you. Even if you get a visa, we don't want you in our country. And I can't wait for that day where there is no one or
you
no
see, we
country.
We can't have that in the U.S. Yeah,
which is
can't
banned.
Have that in the U.S. Yes, it's so bad. We can't have that.
Maybe let's wrap up, Muruti. We spoke about the city earlier on, and I don't know if this is just a city phenomena. Revelation 22 would speak again of the absence of the sun, but also the absence of night, right? This idea of no night, is this literal? That we're never, it's almost like we're living in Alaska 24/7, there's just no, is it meaning no sleep? What does this tell us also about the constant presence and the glory of God?
You see, why do we need the night in this planet? It is because we, if we are not given the night, we work continuously, and our sinful bodies cannot accept that. So the night comes because we need to rest. So in that city, there won't be this laboring that we are experiencing today. Though there might be work, it's not laboring. It doesn't get the body tired. It doesn't exert pressure on the body the way it is happening today. You know, if we work so hard in this in this life, you might end up dying.
Yeah, true.
But in that world, though there is working, our bodies do not get tired. Our bodies do not get old. Our bodies do not need to rest. So there is no need of the night. Mm. And also, we also see that the constant presence of God in that city illuminates the entire city. And there is no need for any other night or any other light to come. So because of the presence of the light throughout, there is obviously no darkness which can be in that city. You see now. So this that's how I've picked from my researches on this area. Yeah.
What would be your take though, Muruti, to and I like how you put the parameters around that to say this is what happens in the city. There's no night there. Is it a city phenomena, or it's something that's going to happen on the whole earth, that there's no need for the sun on the earth because the glory of the Lord illuminates the whole earth? Or is it just for the city? The sun will still be there to do this work during the rest of the time everywhere else. But in the city, because of the presence of God, like I said, this is now his abode. Therefore, we don't need a sun there, or there's no night there.
Now, I still need to do a further research on that one, but I would think that the endless light illuminates in the city. When you go out, I think we need to understand from the very beginning, was there night during Adam and Eve's days?
Yes.
Yes. If there was night, then that's okay.
It's not then a that's sin okay. thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay then. Yeah, but because, you know, God is going to restore this planet to where it was in the beginning. So if he's restoring it back to what it was in the beginning, then we need to just read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and understand what is going to be happening in this in the new city. Yes. So I think what you are saying is possible, probably in the city only. Because, you know, we shall be having an opportunity to come out of the city into the other parts of the of earth.
Yeah.
So actually, that's one thing that we skipped when we spoke about building houses. You know, we have mansions in the city. As you know, Jesus said, "I'm going to make mansions for you."
Yeah. Yeah.
When we read in John chapter 14, and I'll come and pick you up, and where I am, then you'll be also. We have mansions that God has Jesus has built for us in the city, but we shall be able to have our own houses.
Yes.
This is where our building comes in now.
We shall
go out of the city.
Okay.
Yes. To the country. Probably it's actually I think it will be the country, because this is the city, and then the other place will be the countryside.
Mm.
So we shall be able to build houses in the countryside and plant vineyards in the countryside. And life will continue in the countryside the way it was in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were created.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Kuriswami. Let's leave it there. I think quite profound and a beautiful thought you've left us to think on. Appreciating you. May God bless you, sir. Until we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you, Brother Terry. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Sure.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.